Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place from the book of Genesis chapter 12, and then we'll be reading a portion of Hebrews chapter 11. And if you look on your bulletins, or in your bulletins, there's a outline this morning of the message. And also on the opposite side is the scripture reading from Genesis 12 and Hebrews 11. So you can follow along there on the back of your outline as God's word is read this morning. Well, let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word from Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions, and they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. That time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country, to the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. And then from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be just reading three verses from Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 8. "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it from Genesis 12 and Hebrews 11. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in last week's sermon we looked at the calling of Abram and the three promises that God made to him. God called Abram in Genesis 12, 1, to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house, and in turn, God promised him three things in the verses that followed. God promised to give him land to live in, verse 1. God promised that his descendants would become a great nation, verse 2. And finally, God promised that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him, verse 3. But to obtain these promises, Abram had to first live out God's effectual calling. And to live out God's effectual calling means that he had to live as a sojourner. Now, what is a sojourner? That's not a common word that we use today. Sometimes in your Bibles, it's translated a tent dweller. That means somebody who doesn't have a home on the earth. He dwells in tents, or some translations will even define it or translate it as a pilgrim. That means you are a pilgrim, a traveler headed towards a promised land. Our text today tells us what it entailed for Abram as he lived that sojourner life that God had called him to. On your outlines, I've laid out three points. It first describes him as someone who's called to be a sojourner and to live out that calling. We also see in our text that the Lord shows him the land which God has called him to. And finally, for Abram, we see that he concludes his sojourning with worship and communion with God here upon the earth. But did you know today that as you listen to this story of Abram and this sojourner life that God had called him to, that the life of the sojourner of Abram is a life that God has called every believer to. And so you too this morning, as you worship in this place, as you prepare for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, you are reminded and called to walk this morning in Abram's footsteps. Well, let's begin, first of all, with Abram being called to be a sojourner. As I mentioned, the beginning of chapter 12, we see that God spoke to Abram. Out of all the peoples of the world, God spoke in verse 1 to Abram, saying to him to go and to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. That means as God spoke, God's Spirit came upon him. And through the word that was spoken and the power of God's Spirit, Abram was called in his heart to leave his past life, his former way of life, the idols of his fathers, and to live his life for God. And because of God's Spirit at work in him, we see in verse 4 of our text this morning that Abraham obeyed. Verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. Now keep in mind that Abram doesn't obey by his works or anything inside himself. God has spoken to him, God's Spirit has worked in him and has called him, and the fruit of his effectual calling by God is obedience. God has spoken, Abram went, and he did as the Lord spoke to him. He left behind his land, the people that he lived with, the idols, those who did not worship the true God. God's Spirit moved in him to leave behind the people that he knew and the sinful customs and the way of life in which they lived. God moved in him to leave behind his father. Notice the detail at the end of verse 4. We're told in verse 4 that Abram went as God had told him, that Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. And then that detail we're given. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now at the end of chapter 11, the last verse, we're told the days of Terah, that's Abram's father, 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And some people might think, as a casual reader works his way through, that Terah died and then Abram left. But when verse 4 tells us that Abram was 75 years old when he left, that means that in the time frame that's given and the further dates of the lives of Terah and Abram that we see in Scripture, that Abram left at 75 years old when his father was still alive. So that reminds us of the clean break that Abram had to do. Having been effectually called by God, leaving his father behind, and moving on to a life of sojourning in obedience to God. The second thing that we see concerning this calling to be a sojourner is not only obedience, but also to live a life of faith. How can you leave behind? How do you make that clean break from the past life to a life of faith? Well, we're told in Hebrews 11 that Abraham left by faith. In that verse we read from Hebrews 11, in particular verse 8, we're told, by faith, Abram obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now keep in mind that Hebrews 11:1 defines for us what aspect of faith this was. We know in the New Testament, in some of Paul's letters, he defines for us what is justifying faith. We see in the story of Abram in Genesis 15, how Abram believes God, and the Apostle Paul speaks of that event in Genesis 15 concerning justifying faith. Righteousness is given to him. But when we think of the faith here displayed in this particular event, Hebrews 11:1 reminds us that this is an eschatological faith. This is a faith for Abram, which is expressed in his hope, which is beyond the present world in which he lives, in which he is leaving his past behind, and in obedience he is going forward and following God's commands. Now the verse tells us in Hebrews that he does not know where he was going, the end of verse 8 of Hebrews 11. God doesn't give him, you see, a roadmap and says, okay, Abram, you're going to leave your past life, you're going to leave sin and idolatry behind, and I'm calling you to live and to follow me, and here's how it's going to work out. I'm going to give you this particular land to live in. You and your family will live in this house. You and your family together will live in this land for a very long time. I will protect you. I'll take care of you. You don't have anything to worry about if you follow my calling, and it's all going to work out even better than your past life was before. You see, God does not tell him that. God, you see, speaks to Abram and he calls him, and he doesn't give him a roadmap. He doesn't tell him what it's going to turn out like and what it's going to be. But Abram goes and obeys because he has that eschatological faith. That means he is looking forward, you see. He understands as he obeys that God is calling him to a place that he will receive as an inheritance. And he doesn't know for sure how it's all going to turn out, but he follows God in faith as he leaves his past life behind. Look also at verse 9 of our text, as it's reflected there in your outline. Not only does he leave his past life, but also he becomes a sojourner. Now look how it's described in Hebrews 11, 9. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So God hasn't called him to a place where he's going to settle and live the rest of his life in peace and happiness on earth. Instead, he's called to be a sojourner. That means he's called to live a life as if the world in which he lives, the earthly life in which he has, is never going to be his focus or his permanent home. Instead, his permanent focus, his home, is a sojourn, a tent dwelling, a pilgrim life, a life in which he's left his past life behind, where he's focused on the future and in heaven, and for the rest of his life to recognize that this world in which he lives and the life for his descendants, his son Isaac and grandson Jacob, they will never find this world as their home. They will never belong to the earth. They will never engage in the sinful practices of the world around them. They have left that behind because God's Spirit has effectually called them from that life and to focus their life on their future, which is a life of serving God and to live for Him. That is how God calls every believer and everyone to live. God's Spirit works on the believer's heart. God's Spirit changes your heart to leave behind your past life and sins. Since you now have been called and effectually called unto Him, you live the rest of your life as a sojourner, as a tent dweller, never finding your life, your identity in this world without God Himself. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in Colossians 3. He states in Colossians 3, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not that are of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. You see, the Apostle Paul is describing in Colossians 3 the kind of past life that a believer lives. He describes those actions, those sinful passions, as idolatry, the kind of life that Abram left behind. It's the calling, the effectual calling that God brings about in every believer that shows its fruit in obedience and a life of faith. Well, the next thing we see here in Abram's life is that the Lord then shows him the land. Notice the end of verse 6 there, verse 5, when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moriah, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Now this is what we call in the Old Testament scriptures a theophany. That means it is an appearance of God. The text tells us that God appeared to him and that God spoke to him. And as Abram had seen the land, God said, to your offspring I will give this land. But remember what Hebrews tells us about the land that Abram saw. Hebrews, that next verse, verse 10 that we read, tells us here that as God inspired the author of Hebrews, he knew what Abram understood. Verse 10, for Abram, that is he, was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. You see, Abram is looking out at a land, at an earthly place. He is looking at a place where some of his descendants someday will build a house and have a family and make a living. But that is not what Abram is thinking as he sees the land. Instead, the author of Hebrews is telling us that Abram is looking forward to a city without foundations, to a city whose designer and builder is God. You see, that is the land that Abram is focused on. When God calls him to leave his past life, when God calls him to sojourn upon the earth, he is thinking about something far greater than the world ever had to offer. Isn't that the way it is for a believer? That we leave behind those past sins that Paul describes in Colossians 3. And yet God puts in front of us something even better. He puts in front of us a place, a dwelling place, where we can be with God and dwell with him forever. Where our focus will be on him. Where there is no sadness or pain, but only joy and worship in the presence of God who has saved us and given us salvation in Jesus Christ. For Abram, though he left behind his relatives, his family, God had put something so much better, so much more exciting in front of him. A heavenly place, a city without foundations, a city whose builder and maker is God. This is what Abram longed for in his life. But you see, as Abram is described here in Genesis 12, he is described as someone who is looking over the land. Notice all the details given about the places that Abram looked. I mentioned earlier, as we read from verse 6, he went through the place called Shechem to the oak of Moriah, a tree. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. You also notice in verse 8, from there he moved to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. The last verse, and Abram journeyed on still toward the Negev. You see, we're given geographical information, and God has appeared to Abram. But why are we given this information? Certainly, as we recognize the geographical details, we see that Abram is giving a full scope of the land. He comes from the north. That's where he journeys from Haran. He stops in Shechem, considered the center of the land of Canaan. It was a key city, a trading intersection between trading routes from the east and west and trading routes from the north and the south. We're also told, as he journeys on into Bethel, that he looks to one side the east, the other side the west, and one side has the city of Bethel, where Abram has pitched his tent, and it is on the west, and Ai is on the east. And finally, the last detail described is toward the Negev, which is in the south. So what we see here is a full scoping survey that Abram is given of the land. From the north to the center in Shechem, from the east and west, from Bethel to Ai, and all the way to the south, Abram has pitched his tent, and he has surveyed the land. But there's more to this, you see, than simply geographical information, which is interesting. But when God has Abram move about the land, and God has spoken to him and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." God is showing him the land where his offspring will someday be. And later on in the book of Genesis 28, Jacob, Abram's grandson, will have a dream of a ladder that reaches up into heaven, and he will have that dream at Bethel, where he will build an altar. In Genesis 33, Jacob, having returned from fleeing his brother Esau and having lived with his uncle Laban, and he returns now with his wife in Genesis 33, and he pitches his tent, having confronted Esau at Shechem. And between Bethel and Ai, as the Israelites are gathered there, they will drive the Canaanites out of the land. Later in Joshua 24, the Israelites will have a meeting at Shechem where there is a covenant renewal, Joshua having led them in battle to conquer the land. Now, what does that mean? It means that as Abram is surveying the land, and God has said, "This is the land of your offspring," that there is a foreshadowing that our text is giving us. Abram's journey is a foreshadowing of the journey of Abram's offspring. That Jacob, his grandson, Jacob, the one who would have 12 sons that would go to Egypt and become the nation of Israel, Jacob, his grandson, would go to those same places, Jacob's name being changed by God to Israel. That his descendants would come out of Egypt, that they would go to the land and go to these same places as the visible church of Christ on earth, God's Old Testament people. You see, as Abram is going on his journey, it is foreshadowing what God is going to give his offspring. And as Abram is given that foreshadowing journey of the earthly land for his offspring, he is given a picture of the covenant people of God, God's people, God's Old Testament people, and where they will live and worship God in the earthly land. And that, you see, is what God has given us. For as Abram had an appearance from God, from heaven, and God tells him, "Here is where your offspring will be," God has come down to you in a much greater way. For Abram's long-term descendant would not only be a son of Abram, but a son of God. God's very own Son, Son of God, Son of Man, would walk here on this earth as God incarnate. Upon his death and resurrection and ascension, he has given us the church, the earthly people of God. As you look around you this morning in this place, you see that church. You see Jesus Christ and the presence of the people on earth who belong to God, the New Testament church, the New Testament people of God. And in this place, you foreshadow on earth. What someday your hope and focus of your earthly life is in heaven itself. Abram saw the land, but Hebrews 11 tells us that he thought further of heaven and a place where he could be and dwell with God forevermore. And yet God gave him an earthly picture of the place of his offspring and his descendants, just as God has given you sojourners not only a focus of your heavenly home, which is your desire, which is your delight, where is where you want to be at the end of your journey, but still while on earth, you are given a visible picture of the covenant people of God as it foreshadows that glorious place that God has for you in heaven. And do you see what Abram is doing as God is directing him on this journey? The first place we're told in verse 8 is that Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moriah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. And what does he do? So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. He built an altar and he worshiped. Look at the last phrase concerning the situation in Bethel. In Bethel, he's pitched his tent, we're told in verse 8. He goes to the west, on then Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. As Abram is given this survey of the land, as Abram comes to see in part what God is surveying and foreshadowing for him, he makes the purpose of the land on earth to worship God, as he would someday worship in his long-term goal, which is to be in the presence of God in heaven itself. Is that not what you are doing here this morning? You are walking this morning in Abram's footsteps. Like Abram, God has effectually called you from a life of sin and misery unto a life in which he has called you to live in obedience to him, leaving that past behind. Like Abram, God, in calling to you to that obedience, nothing in yourself is equipping you to live that life, but your obedience is the fruit of your faith. As a sojourner, you live your life in this world recognizing that this world is not your purpose, this world is not your focus, but your desire is to be in heaven and in glory with God forevermore. And as a member of his church, your mind and focus as you worship is an earthly picture, a foreshadowing of what someday you will do in heaven all the time. For like Abram, as you gather here, you worship and commune with God and with God's people on earth. And as part of that worship this morning, you come before something far greater than Abram ever knew or understood. For you come this morning as gathered in this place before something far greater than any Old Testament altar. You come before something in which you see the full picture of God's salvation plan. That you come before a supper in which you identify with God's Son, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross and shed his blood and broke his body for your sin. You understand through his death and his resurrection the new life that he has given you. And you come here as the people of God gathering in this place and participating in this sacrament to anticipate the wedding supper of the Lamb that God's people do in heaven with our Savior in His presence. The story of Abram and his survey of the land is a foreshadowing of what his offspring would someday do. Your worship this morning and participation in this sacrament is a foreshadowing of what you someday will do in heaven with the saints of God, the people of God, forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this story of Abram, to remind us, Lord, of what you have called us from, to remind us, Lord, of the life of faith that we must live, to remind us, Lord, of the eternal destination that you have for all of your people, to be in heaven with you in all glory. And yet, Lord, before us today is a reminder of the work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and shed his blood for us. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we think upon these things and partake of this sign and seal of the covenant, that we belong to God, that we belong to our Savior who has died for us, that as we participate today, we long to someday participate with you in that place forevermore. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.